This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop.
Well, Anderson, basically this is a worst-case scenario for Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. Two more senators in just the last 15 minutes have announced that they also cannot support the Senate version of health care reform. That is Senator Jerry Moran of Kansas and Senator Mike Lee of Utah. That brings the number of four Republican senators who say they cannot support this bill. That is not enough for Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to even get this bill to the floor, much less get it passed. He needs at least 50 votes. This would mean that there are four senators of the 52 unwilling to support the bill. So essentially, at this point, this bill is dead. And Anderson, I also want to point out the language in these statements put out by Moran and Lee. They don't appear to be in a negotiating mood. In fact, they are very, very disappointed with the progress of this bill. In fact, Jerry Moran suggesting that they just need to start fresh, essentially start from scratch. He says they need to open the legislative process and that he's not interested in supporting what he calls a stamp of approval for bad policy. Mike Lee in his statement said that the bill does not go far enough to lower premiums for middle-class families. So Mitch McConnell has been struggling, as you know, Anderson, for the last several weeks to try and get these 50 votes. Right out of the gate with the second version of this health care bill, he lost two senators right away, Susan Collins of Maine and Rand Paul of Kentucky. Now with Moran and Lee out of the mix, those are four votes he had to have. He doesn't have them now. So at this point, it's very difficult to see a path forward for this bill. And it comes, Anderson, as you mentioned, as seven senators, most of them in the leadership of the Republican conference, are at the White House right now, presumably to come up with a strategy to hold on to those 50 votes. It looks as though at this point they will not be successful.
Dead, and dead before it even arrived. And, you know, you got to give Mitch McConnell his credit. It would seem that he did all that he could do. If you get people that obviously there must be something wrong there for Mike Lee and Moran, Senator Moran, not to go along and to be so close, but yet so far away. And so, you know, they figure, okay, well, you know, call it a day. It's Obamacare is the law of the land, and the people will continue to suffer under it. And maybe this is time needed for people to realize that this is what, you know, the Democrats and what President Obama has delivered to we the people. And you can talk about it in a death spiral, the increased cost. There's still some people who have benefited from this entitlement program of national health care, because that's the way it was designed. That's what it was supposed to do. It, they would hope that there would be enough critical mass and enough people yelling for it that it would force the legislature to surrender and throw up the white flag of surrender and say, okay, we're going to go single payer, because that's what it was designed to do. And that those are the inner workings and the infrastructure of Obamacare, is it was set for single payer. And this is what is challenging for Republicans, or even if the Democrats, if they wanted to fix this, is that if they're going to fix it, they got to fix it towards a single payer. But maybe what is left up is the inevitable for Mitch McConnell. And what he's doing now is saying, okay, you guys already passed the law before about repealing. We'll just repeal the darn thing. We'll put it up on the floor. We'll let you repeal it. And, you know, it's going to take time anyway to figure out how to. And first of all, when it's repealed, it's not going to be boom. There's some things that are automatic. The big thing is going to be the income, you know, the savings there. The other hope is that some of this stuff will get fixed and amended through tax reform. So, boy, their hands are full, but no question, a lot of people are very, very frustrated, including former Speaker Newt Gingrich, who basically just told Congress, kicked him in the back end, said, look, it's time to perform. You've been sitting on this for six, you know, you've been working on it for 6 months, but even before that, for 6 years, you've been complaining about it. So where are you? Step up, make something happen. Conversation continues. Stay with us. 5 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
Identity theft is going to ruin your life if you're not prepared. Hi, everyone. This is Paul with Liberty ID. Hey, millions of Americans fall victim every year. Odds are your identity has already been compromised, and alerts aren't going to save you. The solution is restoration, and the only company that provides a money-back guarantee is Liberty ID. Go to Liberty ID and use the promo code FREETRIAL for 60 days free. That's LibertyID.com, promo code FREETRIAL for 60 days free. Cancel at any time. Liberty ID is the industry leader in identity theft restoration, with a 100% success rate in restoring our subscribers' identities no matter how they're stolen. Liberty ID fixes the fallout for you. Liberty ID does the work, but you have to be prepared. Go to LibertyID.com, promo code free trial. LibertyID.com, LibertyID.com.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Again, representatives from different companies in different states. There's some big rigs out front, but while he's going to speak on this matter in just a moment, we'll let you listen to that. But we want to talk about health care. Rachel Bade is here for that, to talk a little bit more about the Republican efforts at the White House. She's a congressional reporter who's joining us live and from Politico. Rachel, it's great to see you. Thank you.
Thank you for having me on.
Your talking point, it sounds to me like, is this. The longer this gets drawn out, what does that do to the chances for getting this thing passed?
Time is not on Republican side on this. I think the longer this bill is out there, the more opportunities critics have to come out, laugh the legislation, and pressure moderate Republicans who are already sort of squeamish about this bill to get them to coming out against the bill. For instance, over the weekend, Dean Heller, his Las Vegas office was actually broken into, and somebody left a note saying, if you vote for this bill, I'm going to die, and I'm going to bring you with me. That's a threat. He obviously is a moderate Republican who is on the fence right now about whether or not to support this. What do you think this is going to do in terms of his deliberation process? Another thing, the Republican governor of Vermont came out against this bill this morning. This could potentially lead other Republican governors to sort of come out against this bill. They're not happy about it. They're sort of towing the line right now, not wanting to pressure the Republican senators into voting against it. But if more Republican governors come out against this, you could potentially see some serious pressure being asserted on Republicans from states where Republican governors do not like this bill, and that will lead them to oppose it.
I wish we had a little more time. I'm going to listen to the vice president.
Well, you know, the option, which could be a bit of, game of chicken here with our health care system, and this has always been a possibility here, Scott, and that is that you just let Obamacare fail. Just let it, it's already imploding on itself. We've been seeing what's been going on. And, in much the same way as the entitlement, works out, is that if it fades off into the sunset, then whose fault is it? I know they're worried about, fault, and, the Democrats are, excited because they feel like it is the Republicans' fault now. Somehow they want to get rid of that albatross as quickly as possible. But the fact is that this is the mess we're in is because of Obamacare.
There is a lot of blaming of Trump when they haven't actually done anything. They haven't done anything yet, have they? They haven't changed anything as far as the healthcare thing is concerned.
Well, there's been some, minor regulations that have been, tweaked, but it's minor. I mean, there isn't. I mean, the fact of the matter is Obamacare is the law of the land. That is the case. And, I think that what people are realizing is that a plan, an entitlement program that took the Democrats, even with all the power and the votes that they had, it took them some 2 years in order to make happen, 18 months. And along the way here, we've been suffering under it. And these are things that they saw. But, you know, my question is, the Democrats had to see that this thing was imploding. Why didn't they, you know, in the 6 years that they were in control and they had influence over it, why didn't they proffer any kind of solution to fix Obamacare? And, you know, but they didn't. They just let it go. And so, again, it leads you to believe what so many, you know, whether it's Betsy McCoy, the former lieutenant governor of New York, Dr. Jane Orion, other experts that we had, you know, addressing the national health care, Obamacare, is pointed out is that the Democrats all along, as I mentioned earlier, had set this thing up for single payer. The infrastructure of Obamacare, and Jonathan Gruber said the same thing, you know, they purposely made it confusing and made it difficult because, hey, what they made simple and discernible was the entitlements. That's an easy thing. You give people something, that's easily discerned, and they grab onto it, and they knew that that was going to be the tipping point. As people experienced the entitlement, it was, oh, we love Obamacare. You know, we love it. And that's what we're dealing with. And so how do you come up with something now that you've put it out there and this entitlement? And, you know, that's, I guess, the first rule of politics is, thou shalt not touch my entitlement, right? And well, if you do, you're going to pay for it.
I mean, yeah. How dare you take those things away from me?
Well, and the thing is that here we've got another debate coming just around the corner in raising the debt ceiling. You know, so here it is. We've got Republicans, and most people would say, hey, the reason I voted for the Republican Party is because I wanted to, I want the debt to be addressed. And what are we doing here? You know, we're going to extend the debt even further. And so you say, okay, well, you know, is there any way that we can, you know, maybe slow down might be the argument for the Republicans, much less stop and reverse this runaway train. And here it is. We're dealing with one of the biggest issues, something that affects one-fifth of our economy in health care, all because of what the Democrats and Obamacare have put into place, because they believed that, you know, the American people, it's a right. And now you've got the Republicans trying to fix it. So, you know, maybe Donald Trump is correct. Maybe our president is correct. Just let Obamacare fail. Let, you know, it's going to be painful. And people are going to realize that. And, you know, maybe it's just like that, as we talked about before, you know, that drowning person, you know, the person is drowning. You don't go and save him right away is what the lifeguards are trained. You know, you let them get the fight out of them, and then you go in and help them when they have no other resort but to rely on you. Because if you go in and save them too soon, then they're going to cause you to drown. And maybe it's a little bit of that dynamic taking place here right now. And, you know, as I, you know, we talked about yesterday, you know, what I'm disappointed with on the Republican side is that they cannot seem to say, whether it's Mike Lee or Senator Moran, they can't seem to come up to say anything positive about the bill. What is it that they like about it? You know, it's not about a 100% deal, you know, like we talked with, we talked with our expert yesterday from, you know, from the Reagan Library, and, you know, reminding everybody, John Highbush, that even Ronald Reagan says, look, it's better to get a, you know, 80% of the loaf, and then we'll come back for the 20% later. But I'm not even sure with Mike Lee or with Senator Moran, either senator or maybe some of these other senators are a little squeamish about it, how much of the loaf are they talking about, you know, that they've got there, that, you know, that they already have, how much, and that's what I think that they're missing here in this conversation, in letting us know where they sit with this, because it's not going to be perfect. It's going to be at somebody's expense. The thing is, what you're trying to do, especially when you're reforming an entitlement package, is can you ameliorate the expense and the pain of it to where it's not so significant? And what they're trying to do here, and I can appreciate it, is they're trying to, you know, control the pain and damage that a reform, even though, you know, you can tell the people, hey, this thing's dying, it's going away, that it's a mess. But right now, hey, they got health coverage. You know, they've got a card, and they can go in and get health care. Well, we'll keep the conversation going. Stay with us, America. It's just about 15 minutes after the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. We are live.
And I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
When fresh liquid whey is processed into a dry powder, the special proteins that make up the whey lose their original shapes. They fold in on themselves and lose their functional value. One World Whey undergoes a technological enhancement that we believe restores these potent proteins back to their original shapes the body can use.
I chose to try One World Whey first before going to a doctor who would likely only prescribe drugs. To my delight, it worked. After stabbing pain for years, to have it completely gone is a miracle. I'd like to also stress that for me, it took several months of taking One World Whey before I had improvement, and then an entire year for my gut to feel 100% healed. So now I tell my friends, give your body time to make use of the healing power of One World Whey.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ, based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Are you one of the 15 million men who suffer from an enlarged prostate? If your life revolves around finding the closest bathroom, if you're tired of waking up many times a night to urinate, then you need to know about Prostate Miracle. Prostate Miracle contains beta-cytosterol, which is 3,000 times stronger than salt palmetto. To claim your $10 Patriot discount, go to prostatemiracle.com and enter promo code PATRIOT. Or call 877-965-2140. That's 877-965-2140.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Is that Ellen painting her garage?
Yesterday she was trimming her hedges.
What's her secret?
I heard she was eating this new superberry called the Aronia berry.
Aronia? What?
Aronia berries from superberries.com. They're known for having one of the highest levels of antioxidants that helps with overall wellness.
Where can we get them?
Go to superberries.com/radio. And right now we get a free smoothie recipe book with our order. Plus we can save $4 at checkout.
I can't wait. I've got lots of projects I need to get done.
Yes, you do.
Choose health. Eat purple. Superberries.com.
Letting you know about it before the defecation hits the oscillation. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, just the way you like me, fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Welcome back, America. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, we were able to connect with Dr. Jane Orient last minute here. Appreciate her being available. Dr. Orient, who's been on with us many times, Executive Director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. Dr. Orient, thank you so much for being available and coming on Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Well, I guess it's a... an interesting time that we live in.
It is, without a doubt. But this is what happens. I think we're dealing with a serious landmine, and I've been characterizing it as the infrastructure of Obamacare. It is imploding, but the fact of the matter is it was laid out not to deliver health care, but to satisfy a lot of self-interest and a lot of greed, and it's starting to be on display here. Don't you see it?
Well, I think so. I mean, that was the purpose. It is not about getting people medical care. It's confusing health care with so-called health insurance, which is really a health plan that sucks up all the money, $3 trillion a year, and drains at least half of it into the swamp.
Yeah. And meanwhile, the insurance companies are saying thank you very much, and they're picking and choosing, the escape routes at their convenience, but they've got bundles of cash they're dragging behind them, aren't they?
Well, of course, a lot of that cash is being made by selling your data.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And not by actually providing you medical insurance. But they're getting all these subsidies, and those they may be exiting the individual market, but they are getting tons of money in Medicaid, and it's really interesting that the resistance to repealing Obamacare comes from people who want that Medicaid money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is the thing that's a bit confusing, Dr. Orion, because like any entitlement, once it's out there, people are scrambling to hold on to this. They may not understand what it means, and I would even dare say that I'm not sure the legislators or even the senators understand what it means, because they can't seem to articulate a vision and what they're trying to what they're trying to fix here. They talk about health care; it's all in general terms, but there is very little specific here because of the because of the Medicaid particularly and what it means for the perception. So it seems like we're battling more perception than reality.
Well, we're battling donor money. Mm-hmm. I think that the only thing that congressmen care about is getting reelected, and that depends on getting money from donors to run their campaigns. They don't understand the situation, or they are determined not to understand it. The problem is comprehensive third-party payment for everything, and destroying the whole concept of insurance, where you only buy coverage for catastrophic things, and you hope never to have to make a claim on your insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, we took people that you can't get medical care unless you have coverage, and the coverage will tell you what kind of care you can get, and the doctors and hospitals will be working for the insurance company, really the managed care cartel, and not for you.
Well, what I'm concerned about is that this is getting so overwhelming for Main Street America that the flag of surrender to single payer is just around the corner. What do you think?
Well, I think that that's the whole idea. But people don't understand what single payer means. It means Charlie Gard.
Yes.
It means that if the single payer decides that your life is not worth spending society's money on, you're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
That if the single payer doesn't pay for it, well, that's the single payer. That means you can't. No matter how much money you can raise from charity, no matter how much you're willing to sell or give up your life savings, that if the single payer doesn't pay, sorry, folks, nobody else can either.
And this is the whole point. We've been talking about Charlie Gard extensively here on this show, Dr. Orion. And, I said, okay, look at this is national health care on full display here. And so as a single payer nation, then you couldn't, even if you had the money, you couldn't do it, or you just have to go outside the country to get services.
Well, if you can go outside the country, but they won't even let Charlie Gard out of the country.
No, they won't. Right.
The Vatican Hospital will accept him. The hospital in New York will accept him. They won't let him leave.
Hmm. Now, isn't
they won't even let him go home.
Now, wasn't there a U.N. agreement that kind of is controlling this? Because, we hear about the U.K., but also EU involvement with the Charlie Gard decision as well.
Well, I guess the EU decided that he had to die also.
Mm-hmm. But my understanding is there's some international agreement there. Are you aware of that?
There may be, but I can just see what the result is, that the baby is at the mercy of bureaucrats deciding whether or not he's allowed to try something other than death.
Well, as it stands right now, it would appear that Mitch McConnell is telling the Senate, we're going to bring back that repeal vote that you approved before, and we're going to bring that, and we're just going to repeal Obamacare and then go from there. So what would that mean if we just flat out repealed Obamacare?
I think it would be tremendous, because that would mean we could get rid of all of these regulations that outlaw private insurance or true catastrophic insurance. It would allow a free market to develop an insurance. It would put the lid on this inexorable continuing expansion of Medicaid that's devouring state budgets and the federal treasury, again, to drain money into the swamp, because very little of that may actually be going to take care of needy people.
Exactly. This would unleash the free market that has been crying, you know, for this opportunity if they were to repeal it. I think some of the things that the CBO clearly cannot measure is what would happen with cross-state line sale of insurance programs.
Well, the CBO, they keep counting their numbers, but why they even bother to quote them? Because the CBO is wrong virtually every time.
Mm-hmm. So if we were to repeal it, then you don't see any mass hysteria. We're just saying, okay, let's give the free market a chance, and the people will take control of their health care once again.
Well, I think if you don't allow people to choose their own insurance, then we're just heading down to coercive, involuntary, restricted, governmentally controlled medical care for everybody.
Yeah, and I'm not even sure, you know, this whole pipe dream, well, again, as you say, it's not about healthcare, it's about control. So this is, you know, trying to get government's fingers off our healthcare. Let us handle it. We can make it work. Open up the markets, get out of the way in these regulations, and the free market will rise to the level as determined by the market itself, which in other exercises we find time and again to be most effective, don't we?
Well, we do, and I think maybe it's sort of deceptive to call it the market, or that it has this implication of some cold, calculating, capitalistic thing. The free market really means individual men and women making their own decisions of how to spend their own earnings instead of having it taken over by a centrally planned authority. And That is how everything else works in this economy. Things that don't work, like education and medical care, are because of this heavy hand of centrally planned bureaucrats, which, again, drain off a huge amount of the resources.
What about those people that really need it? We know that with the expansion of Obamacare and what he did in throwing Medicaid out there to everybody, that we have people on Medicaid that are well enough, that they should have their own responsibility, their own freedom to choose their own health care and not have it at the people's expense. But what about the people with the repeal of Obamacare? It's not like they would just fall off of Medicaid. They probably have to be, reclassified or...
Well, what happens to people now on Medicaid is that they may not be able to get any service. Like, there was one woman in New Jersey on Medicaid who had a fractured leg, who was not able to stand up for years. Medicaid could not get her surgery to fix her fracture. She finally ended up at a free clinic where they raised the money to get a surgeon to fix her fracture, so she was able to stand up for the first time in 3 years. I mean, the private safety net charity is out there, and it's picking up the things that Medicaid doesn't. Or there's that man in Nevada who lost his feet due to frostbite. All the while, Medicaid was getting $563 a month just to keep him on the rolls, but that didn't provide him a dry place to sleep, which is what he really needed.
Exactly.
And, you know, Nevada's already got maybe 30,000 people on Medicaid, almost $250,000, who get absolutely no services at all.
Well, Dr. Orient, we have to leave it there. Thank you again for coming on. Dr. Jane Orient, Executive Director of Association of American Physicians and Surgeons.
The report is brought to you by Sprint. 2017 marks the sixth year that Sprint is sponsoring the CONCACAF Gold Cup. Starting July 7th through July 26th, Sprint will challenge fans to trivia fun and soccer-related games for a chance to win up to $10,000 and other prizes. At select matches, the on-site football fiesta experience lets you meet soccer legends like American All-Star Brian McBride, along with Jared Borghetti and others from Team Mexico. Learn how to stay connected with Sprint's Unlimited Freedom Planets. sprint.com/COPA and use hashtag Sprint4COPA. Brian McBride, Team USA.
Sprint doesn't want you to miss a single second of the 2017 Gold Cup action. And with the Unlimited Freedom plan, you don't have to. Enjoy the best of soccer on a winning network. Works for me.
Offer and coverage not available everywhere. Restrictions apply. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Void where prohibited. Open to legal residents of the 50 United States, including the District of Columbia and Puerto Rico, age 14 or older, who at time of entry are members of Sprint Rewards Club. Sweepstakes begins at 12 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on July 7, 2017 and ends at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on July 26, 2017.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Getting America back on track. Yeah. Bill Martinez live. Live.
Hey, we're back with you, America. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Michael Rubin joins us now, former Pentagon official whose major research areas are the Middle East, Turkey, Iran, and diplomacy. Michael instructs senior military officers deploying to the Middle East and Afghanistan on regional politics, teaches classes regarding Iran terrorism and Arab politics on board deploying U.S. aircraft carriers. Rubin has lived in post-revolution Iran, Yemen, both pre- and post-war Iraq, spent time with the Taliban before 9/11, and of course he is the author of the book Dancing with the Devil, The Perils of Engaging Rogue Regimes. Michael, good to have you with us. How you doing?
Hey, thanks for having me, Bill. Everything's great.
Hey, a lot to talk about, lest we forget, with the distraction of what is happening here in this Make America Great Again. Of course, this is the week that Made in America, Higher America, is the focus at the White House. But we've got serious issues still bubbling overseas. And Mosul, great victory here. Where we go from here with what we were able to do in ousting ISIS so far out of Mosul?
Well, you know, the next big step, of course, is Raqqa in Syria, which was the Islamic State's capital. But when you talk to the Iraqis about what comes next, yes, the Islamic State has lost Mosul, which was Iraq's second largest city before Islamic State took it over. But now what they're doing is looking forward to maybe a 3 or 4 year al-Qaeda on steroids campaign, which is the way one of Iraq's counterterrorism chiefs describe what's next. The Islamic State's not simply going to raise the white flag and surrender, on top of which that's Iraq, but what happens in Iraq doesn't necessarily stay in Iraq. So the big question is, what happens when some of these people start coming home?
Well, no doubt a big victory. I mean, this really works against the narrative, against ISIS, that felt that they were on a mission from God, and now there's some downturn here. So people might start to question, did you really hear from God?
Well, that's absolutely the case. But on the other hand, the way the Islamic State had crafted its theology, they talked about how Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the self-declared caliph of the Islamic State, would be the fifth legitimate caliph until, I think, the year 2250 or so. And so what happens, fifth of eight legitimate caliphates, and so this caliphate has to end. Really what the Islamic State did is craft a win-win narrative. On one hand, if they win, that's great. On the other hand, if they lose, they can say, well, we're just five of eight, and so now what we're going to be dealing with are a lot of other would-be caliphs. The one thing we got to keep in mind, Bill, is during the George W. Bush administration, all these journalists, all these pundits said, oh, the caliphate's a thing of the past. George Bush shouldn't even bring it up. But when you have 30,000 people coming from 100 different countries, it's clear that narrative has resonance.
Yeah, it's amazing how people want to put to death certain things that you can see clearly, even like President Obama trying to say that Russia was insignificant, and we have learned in time it's a different story altogether. What about this rumor? Is al-Baghdadi dead, alive? I mean, you're hearing both sides of the coin here.
Well, I mean, certainly I've heard from a lot of people that he's dead. Then again, you have Lahore Talabani, who's the nephew of former Iraqi President Jalal Talabani, and one of the counterterrorism officials who's working for the Kurds, saying he's very much alive. But when I look at Lahore Talabani's comments, he's saying, look, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi rose up through the Ba'ath Party. He has lots of places to hide. He's basically saying he's too good to die, but ultimately lots of people who are too good to die eventually die. That said, everyone's going to want to see proof.
Exactly. I was going to say that somebody's got to call the question here sooner or later. I mean, the rumors are such, I mean, more than rumors. I mean, Russia says that they took him out.
Russia says they took him out. There's not necessarily any way for Russia to know that because everyone drops bombs. That said, the way proof usually comes is when someone, a local force, exhumes the body, provides DNA evidence, that sort of issue. That's what we haven't seen yet, though.
Okay, what? Where are we with Iran? President Trump is saying that he's, that Iran seems to be complying with the tenets of the agreement, and he is going to okay it. What's your read on this?
Well, you know, I was reading through the talking points of the White House right before we started our conversation. There's a couple ways to look at this, and frankly, partisans of both ends are wrong on this. The Trump administration says that they're certifying Iran, but it really doesn't matter because they're imposing sanctions on the other bad Iranian behavior, and they're continuing to study the issue. Those who are very much proponents of the Iran deal basically said this proves that Iran is abiding by its agreement. The one thing to keep in mind with the Iran deal is it's sort of like the standards of being valedictorian of the summer school class. It's a lot watered down from being valedictorian of the normal high school class, that sort of issue. The other issue that we need to look at is whether the International Atomic Energy Agency is doing everything it can to make sure that Iran is deemed to be in compliance. And by that I mean, if they're afraid that an inspection would show Iran is cheating, well, then they're not going to do the inspection. And that's the thing we need to worry about. German intelligence, meanwhile, has found that Iran is seeking nuclear weapons components again, and that's something we should worry about. Why the German politicians aren't following their own German intelligence report, that's just proving the phenomenon I'm talking about.
And what about the connection with North Korea?
Well, ultimately, this is the huge issue that we need to worry about. The Iran deal assumed that all the inspections, all the Iranian nuclear work would be taking place in Iran, but we know that at every serious North Korean missile test, Iranian scientists have been there. Vice versa, North Korean scientists have been in Iran. So even though the Iranians might be abiding by the deal inside Iran, who's to say they're not conducting nuclear weapons research, mathematical modeling, warhead design, and that sort of thing inside North Korea? And if they are, we've got no way to inspect that.
And how complicit is Russia in all this?
Russia for a long time was also found itself in a win-win situation. On one hand, they kind of figured that if they helped Iran, that that would stymie the United States. Vladimir Putin, Russia's president, sees diplomacy as a zero-sum game. For Iran, for Russia to win, everyone else has to lose. Mm-hmm. That said, if Israel, if the United States, if anyone else had actually launched military action at Iran, it would have disrupted the oil markets. The price of oil would have skyrocketed, and Russia, which produces oil, would have been able to take that to the bank. Whenever historically Russia thinks it's in a win-win situation, bad things happen.
Exactly. Well, you mentioned Israel. Israel's keeping a close eye on all this, of course. What is their position on this?
Well, Israel, when you look at Israeli officials, many of them who were who basically said, look, the Iran deal's a reality, we have to deal with it, they're coming out more and more negative over the last two or three, 2 years, because simply senior Israeli intelligence and military officials say, including also diplomats, that the Iran deal's not doing what the Obama administration with Secretary of State John Kerry had promised. That said, when a lot of proponents of the Iran deal say, hey, look, Israel's Mossad former head blessed the Iran deal and so forth, what, for those who know Israel, personalities matter, and this person had gone off the rails when Benjamin Netanyahu wouldn't extend their term 1 year. They have, Israel's a democracy. They have some of the same sort of derangement syndromes that we have in the United States. And so it's impossible to simply look at Israeli statements without understanding the context of Israeli politics.
Well, you would think, Michael, that you get, you know, you have this dynamic tension between these two groups. You know, to do something preemptive toward Iran and others saying let diplomacy work. Where are we in that standoff and that dynamic tension?
Well, you know, that dynamic tension exists still, but the key issue is whether you believe that Iran is an existential threat or only strategically untenable. If you believe that Iran means to wipe Israel off the face of the map, then the Israelis have no choice but to act unilaterally.
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about North Korea, more about Russia, Syria, of course. And also, I want to take a look at, what's happening, with China as well. We've got to bring them into the conversation. Michael Rubin, resident scholar with the American Enterprise Institute, former Pentagon official, author of the book Dancing with the Devil, The Perils of Engaging Rogue Regimes. More from Michael right after this. Stay with us.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guarantee quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
This report is brought to you by Northwestern Medicine. The three most common and severe threats to cardiovascular health in the United States are heart failure, heart attack, and stroke. These potentially fatal conditions are treated in hospitals across America, but Northwestern Memorial Hospital in Chicago has become a leader in the treatment of heart failure and other cardiovascular diseases. In fact, the Bloom Cardiovascular Institute at Northwestern Memorial is ranked number one for survival rate of heart failure patients, and number two for survival of patients suffering from heart attack or stroke. Dr. Clyde Yancey, Chief of Cardiology at Northwestern Memorial Hospital.
Northwestern Medicine has taken a nation-leading position in heart failure through a disease-specific, patient-level approach that involves identifying and then treating patients earlier in their disease. It is now possible to delay and even prevent heart failure. Mechanical pumps and transplants are important, but the future is in restoring heart function and ultimately the prevention of heart failure.
To learn more, visit heart.nm.org.
Hi, I am Kelly Cook, the Chief Marketing Officer here at Kmart. Did you know that premature birth is the number one killer of babies in the United States, or that survivors can face a lifetime of serious health problems? Guess what? You can help. Join me and Kmart for the March for Babies Walk. We'll work together to raise funds for research and programs that help the March of Dimes fight premature birth and birth defects and improve the health of moms and babies. So start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
How did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, hey, try this? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
Everything you've been told about identity theft prevention is a flat-out lie. No one can prevent identity theft. No one. Go to LibertyID.com and use the promo code FREETRIAL for 60 days free. Cancel at any time. LibertyID is the industry leader in identity theft restoration. LibertyID fixes the fallout for you. LibertyID does all the work, but you have to be prepared. Go to LibertyID.com, promo code FREETRIAL. LibertyID.com.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Hey, we're back with you. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, our conversation with Michael Rubin continues, resident scholar with the American Enterprise Institute and former Pentagon official. Michael, update on Syria. What is happening now?
Well, you know, the big news in Syria came out last week when the United States and Russia agreed to a local ceasefire among their proxies in southern Syria. Now, the reason why this is so important is because it involves Jordan, it involves Israel, it involves that area along the border. But now the big Israeli concern is whether Iran is going to take advantage of the ceasefire to establish bases within a stone's throw of Israel.
And, of course, tensions are still a little tight because you've got America protecting its interests, Russia their interests. Somehow there seems a little overlap and compatibility, but yet there are those areas of conflict between even the U.S. and Russia over Syria.
Well, you know, that's the key thing, Bill. A lot of people say they want to fight the Islamic State, and that's all well and good, but or they want to fight terrorism, but no one seems to agree on what the Islamic State is or what terrorism is. That's one question. So when the Islamic when Russia started entering Syria and so-called taking on the Islamic State, they were actually bombing everyone but the Islamic State. Mm-hmm. The other issue is a scramble for what comes next. If the Islamic State is collapsing, as we said in the last segment, they're going to become an insurgency, sort of like Al-Qaeda on steroids.
Right.
But who's going to control the ground afterwards? It's a battle of proxies, and I'm not sure whether we have a plan in place.
Yeah, and in the middle, you've got Assad. Does he last or does he go away and go the way of Saddam Hussein?
Well, you know, he could ultimately, it reminds me of his father, Hafez al-Assad, where people said he's dying or he's on his way out for 30 years. Mm-hmm. He finally dies, and they say we were right all along. The issue is, while some people want to say that Bashar al-Assad is the key to stability, Russia looks at him as a proxy. The Islamic State never would have risen up if it hadn't been for the incompetence of Bashar al-Assad. And the reason why you've had the Syrian opposition radicalized to the extent it has is simply because of the anger at Bashar al-Assad's tactics over the years.
Exactly. Well, Assad could only hope that Russia is the lead principal in this resolution. Otherwise,
you know, he is going to be charged and he's going to face a court for, you know, for the crimes that he's committed against the citizens of Syria, isn't he not?
Well, ultimately, in theory, that's the way it would be. But this also raises the whole question about the ICC, the International Criminal Court, and one of the major problems with it, that sometimes if you say you're going to be charged, you're going to go to the court, you're going to end your life on the gallows and so forth, that's a disincentive from stepping down. So perhaps the best possible option would be, and this is Pollyanna-ish, I know, that if at some point Assad can enjoy an Iranian or a Russian retirement.
Exactly. Yeah, I wouldn't put any money on it, I think.
Yeah, nor would I.
Exactly. Well, Michael, we mentioned North Korea. Eyes have been on China, saying how come China can't do more to bring, this rogue, Kim Jong-un under control. I don't see any controlling him. What do you see happening here?
You know, this frustrates me, and we've had a letter from serious statesmen, retired statesmen like former Secretary of State George Shultz, who have said to the Trump administration, you got to talk to North Korea, you got to work with China. But, you know, we've been working with China for 25 years, and we've been giving them tremendous incentives, waiving licenses on dual-use technology and so forth, just to use Beijing's good offices to intercede with North Korea. And look where we are today. It's almost as if China is playing a game of good cop, bad cop, where they're the good cop, North Korea is the bad cop. And so what I would propose is something which Donald Trump mentioned during the campaign and then walked away from, which is frankly encouraging Japan to change its constitution to develop nuclear weapons, not to use them, of course, but basically it's the only thing that's going to make China wake up. It's the only thing that's going to make China nervous given the historical animosities. And instead of giving China incentives to play ball, we should basically say the situation is going to get much worse unless you do play ball.
Well, Michael, to your point, in the last 30 years, wouldn't you say that this has probably been one of the highlights or better positions of negotiation, if you want to put it that way? It seems like we have a better relationship with China these days than we've had in the last 30 years.
Well, it ebbs and flows, but keep in mind that the hardliners are ascendant in China, and much of those good relations have been predicated on the fact that we are not standing up for our allies the way we once did. We've allowed China to eviscerate its deal with Hong Kong and basically assert much more control over Hong Kong than it was supposed to. It's no longer one country, two systems. It's two territories, one security service. You also have a situation that we're basically isolating Taiwan more and more. We used to have cabinet-level officials go there. The Obama administration was instead sending the State Department envoy for bisexual and same-sex and that sort of thing issues, and that's just an insult to Taiwan. So, you know, we've got to stand up to our allies, otherwise China's not going to respect us.
Michael, you were saying that one of the underreported or non-reported issues going on because of everything else is what's going on between India and China. Break that down for our audience.
Well, you know, there's a territory in the Himalayas next to the state, independent state of Bhutan called Sikkim, S-I-K-K-I-M. And India has basically been suzerain over this. It's controlled it, especially since the 1970s. Well, now China is moving in, sort of moving the border and basically saying this China should dominate this area. The Indians have been mobilizing much of their military in the area. It's become a hot-button diplomatic flashpoint and military flashpoint. And here's the thing. China and India are both the regional superpowers. If you draw a circle, Bill, around China and India, more people live inside that circle in Asia than live outside that circle in the rest of the world. So it's important to keep in mind how dangerous this is.
Well, China has been rather expansionary. I mean, with what's going on in the South China Sea, here, you know, at India's border, you know, what is going on?
Well, I mean, basically, China, when we look at Russia for a second, Russia going into Georgia, Russia going into the Ukraine, Russia taking the Crimea, Russia threatening the Baltics, we blame Vladimir Putin. What we need to do is step back and breathe a sigh of relief that until this point, China hasn't had its own Vladimir Putin trouble. But because of decades of the one-child policy in China, they're hitting a demographic problem. They, I mean, even though they've eliminated that policy or at least liberalized it, they have an aging workforce. Basically, they got a demographic bubble going the wrong way. They're worried about the future of the economy, and like so many states, they figure the way to distract from the failings of the economy, from the decline in growth, and growth in China has never been what many people like Tom Friedman, the New York Times columnist, says. The problem with them is that they believe Chinese statistics. Mm-hmm. At any rate, China is wanting to distract, and they're going nationalistic. It's the same thing which Vladimir Putin did, and that raises real red flags around the globe.
Venezuela. Boy, I'll tell you, this is unhinging here. Maduro is in trouble. The U.S. says they're standing ready if they need to exercise some sanctions.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. And as someone who's a professional Turkey watcher, I look at Venezuela and it's Turkey Part 2, where what Maduro has been saying most recently as the trouble has gotten started, as he hasn't been able to revive the economy, is that he's intercepted a fake coup plot, and so he's going to arrest tens of thousands of people. That's what Erdogan did. He's going to change the constitution. That's what Erdogan in Turkey did. And so what we really have, when people say, well, I mean, what difference does it make what happens in Turkey? The thing is, if Turkey's successful in cracking down and undermining what once was a wealthy, vibrant democracy, people forget that Venezuela used to be the wealthiest state
exactly.
in Latin America, no more.
Yeah, and I was just going to ask you about that. I mean, here it is. I mean, you talk about the rise and fall of Venezuela. I mean, can you imagine living in Venezuela and having experienced prosperity and now to be at the bottom of it all? You're probably sitting there in shock going, what happened?
Well, it should be a civics lesson for everyone. A lot of people forget that the difference between drought and famine, for example, is drought is a meteorological phenomena. It's weather. It's the lack of rain, where famine isn't caused by weather. Famine is man-made. It's caused by poor governance. And what's happened in South America should be a lesson to all these university leftists, these professors, these students, to understand what socialism is about. When you look at the 20th century and the 21st century, nothing has killed more people than socialism.
Yeah, amazing. And this is the thing, you know, these kids wear the T-shirts and they think it's all cool and everything, but they have no idea what it means. It's like the healthcare debate. You know, we have signs that are on the world stage, like Charlie Gard out of the UK, and you go, that's socialism. You see Venezuela unhinging, which not that long ago, really, you know, 3 decades ago, was very prosperous, and, you know, welcome socialism. This is what it looks like.
Well, you're absolutely right. To walk around with a Che Guevara T-shirt is no different than walking around with an Adolf Hitler T-shirt. And what it really symbolizes in this case that people do is an ignorance of history.
I was going to say absolute ignorance, no doubt about it. Michael, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate all the insight. And we got a lot covered here in a couple of segments. Great job, as always. Michael Rubin, resident scholar with the American Enterprise Institute, former Pentagon official, Middle East regional politics expert, Iran, Syria, Persian Gulf. We went all around the horn, and we covered it all, and hopefully you were taking notes. And also this one especially, make sure you get your hands on his book, Dancing with the Devil, The Perils of Engaging Rogue Regimes, available at all the usual places and linked at our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Just about 2 minutes before the top of the hour right now.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calvin Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Imagine.